I'm taking you tonight to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. A classic verse, a well-known verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My title tonight is The End of Self. The End of Self. Self has to come to an end in order to find salvation, in order to find the Lord. Oh, how can I describe this verse to you? May I say, in this verse, this is a diamond. It is a diamond. I almost said it is a dynamite. But it is a diamond. It shines from every side. There are so many ways to look at this verse. But I will limit myself tonight by saying, in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to find salvation, to have your sins forgiven, you must come to an end of self. But looking at the verse, you know, in the Gospel of John, there is what we often call the seven I ams of Christ. We could easily list them. But may I say, we could easily call this verse, Galatians 2:20, the I ams of Paul. Seven or eight times you find that pronoun, first person pronoun, he mentions about himself. So it is a very personal verse. But the verse also is really the cure, you know, the remedy, the antidote, the solution for what? To bring down king self, the I, me and myself generation. It is really a gangrene. It is a cancer. Because you and me, we often think we are the center of the world. But that king me, this is the cure. It could be brought down. It could be defeated. It could be conquered. That's really the meaning of the verse. We will explain it as time goes. But remember, oh, the self-seeking me, self-centered, self-pitying, oversensitive, easily wounded, and so self-assertive, with my self-determination, with my self-promotion. You see, this is the world far from God. It's all about the person. It's all about my pedigree. It's all about my realizations. It's all about my achievements. But how to quench and get that down? This is the verse. It gives that cure. But the verse really is here to make you to be emptied. Emptied from the me disease. It is a disease. So you can be emptied. I can be emptied from that disease and be set free to have fellowship with the living God. Because me is the great number one. But Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, oh, as I said, I want to describe it beautifully. Maybe this will be your verse of conversion. It gives us a beautiful resume of how a sinner is saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Oh, this is a beautiful summary, really. How you can be saved. How to find the Lord. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't stop just at salvation. But how you and me ought to live after we find the Lord Jesus Christ striping out king self and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So before really I come to the verse, my dear friends, is there a hope for me? Is there a help for you and me? Where is that help? Where can I find that help? In order, instead of being self-focused, instead of promoting myself, to be looking at something higher, higher than this world, higher than the skies above this world, which will give me hope in this life, but also in the life to come. You know what I read from the Word of God? Because of my sin, because of my rebellion, because of my arrogance, because of my pride, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. So because of my sin, I must die. And if I stand before the living God, unsaved, unconverted, irregenerated, you know what is happening with me? I will be defeated and I will be separated eternally from my Maker. But the good news, I read in the Bible that God so loved the world. I read in the Bible that God did not spare His only begotten Son, but He gave Him up for me. He gave Him up for me. So that I may live. Oh, that is a great gift. It is not a small gift. It is not a small matter. This is a great gift. Will you just close your eyes? Will you behave as if there was no gift? Oh, there is a great gift. So that is why, as we come to this verse, please remember, God did something for you and me. And that is so important when we think about salvation. God gave His Son, His only Son. His death gave the death blow to sin. So sin is not anymore a dominion, a power, if you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in Him, you will have that power to live a free life. You know, psychology, moralism, humanism, psychiatry, atheism, or anger management programs, methods, addiction management, rehabs, disintoxication centers, and so on. They all are really fighting with one problem. One problem. They are trying to solve one problem, and that problem is the me problem. King I. How could that king be defeated? But the problem is they are fighting against it since the beginning of this world to no avail. To no avail. But look at the genius of the Bible. The genius of the God of the Bible. It gives us the cure in one verse. Without even expounding the whole Bible, in just one verse you find the solution to that disease, the me-ism disease. And this verse, I believe, is jam-full. Jam-full in terms of grammar, in terms of tense, in terms of mood, in terms of logic, in terms of complexity, in terms of paradox. It's all there. How could you, in order to live, first of all, you must die? That's a great paradox, but it is a logic. We will come to it. It is a great logical. The Bible is always logical. Sin is illogical. Sin is not reasonable. Not to believe is illogical. To reject God is irreasonable. It's out of reason. To believe is reasonable and logical. But look at the verse. Please, it is in front of you. I just want to bring up the beauty of the Word of God. Look at it, bursts with life. Later, if you have time, just count the word life there. How many times? It is filled with Christ. Count it again. How many times you find Christ mentioned there? At least a good 5 times Christ is mentioned there. But look at the tense or the time. It speaks about the past, it speaks about the present, but it speaks also about the future. Your BC life, your AD life, and your eternity life. It's all here for you to think about life. Oh, my dear friends, life and faith revolve around the Son of God who gave himself. Life and faith revolve around the Son of God who shed his blood. And life is in the blood. We read that in the Bible. Life is in the blood. In order to be saved, I need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid that price. But let me just mention one more thing about the beauty of this verse. Salvation, sacrifice, self-denial, dedication, dethronement, commitment, but also deliverance. That's the key tonight. Deliverance. I need deliverance. I need to be rescued from my sins. And Galatians 2:20 tells me there is a way to be delivered. There is a way to be forgiven. There is a way to have new life. But Galatians 2:20 is a solemn call to believe. So here I want to put before us tonight three very simple points in relation to faith. Because as I said, this is a call to believe, a call to faith. The first point I want to put before you, faith is personal. The second, faith is union with Christ. And the third, look at the outcome. Faith brings life. It brings new life. It brings abundant life. And it brings eternal life. That's what we want. The world says, we will give you life. But they don't show you the consequences. But in the Bible, when the Bible speaks about life, meaningful life, significant life, eternal life. But let's look at them one by one. The first thing I want to put before you, as I said, faith is personal. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, not just a faith, but the only faith that could save me. My dear friends, do you know, according to the Bible, that faith is based on facts? It's not utopia. It's not a daydream. It's not a manipulation. It's not just sensations. It is a reality. It is not a leap in the dark. It is based on fact, on reality. Factual, not fictional. Faith is based on fact. So that's why faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the key to life. But look at how Paul puts it. The verse is in singular, but it is also personal. I am crucified. As I said, 7 or 8 times you have the I, me, my. For the world, as in an unbelieving state, when you speak about only I, me, myself, that is sinful. But in a converted state, when you speak about those pronouns, oh, it means life has been given to you. It's not anymore us. It's not anymore ours. It's not anymore we. But Paul says, I. It is personal. And Paul makes it personal for you and me to do likewise. What happened when it comes to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is so important. As I said, you see the verse, it says, God loves me. And God gave himself for me. My dear friends, it has to be personal. Mom and dad cannot believe for you. The president, the queen, or whoever he is, the preacher, the priest, cannot believe for you. Grace doesn't run from one vein to the next. It is personal. God loves you personally. Why? Because my sin, my guilt, my shame, my wickedness is personal, and I need to be rescued personally. One by one, we must come to the salvation. We must come to the waters. That's really the first thing we see in this passage. So salvation is something personal, and God has to rescue us to set us free from his righteous judgment. But that personal faith, in order to take place, faith begins with death. Life is given to a sinner. He must first die. And the logic, the seed, look at the farmers. For a seed to bear fruit, John, actually the Lord Jesus Christ gave that picture. In John chapter 12, verse 24, he said, taking his own example, that he is going to die like a seed. A seed, in order to bear fruit, must first be buried. And when it dies there, it will bear fruit. So the same for you and me. In order to bear fruits, in order to have life, we must first die to ourselves. Life begins. And life is given to a sinner when he first dies. That's the beauty, again, of the Word of God when we think about it. My dear friends, the nature, our nature, the natural life is poisoned. It is corrupt. And the text doesn't say, I crucify myself. You cannot do that. Nobody has ever crucified himself. But it means, when you believe on the Savior, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is as if you were crucified there with him. The old man is crucified with the Savior on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ did all what is required so that the old man dies and the new man is given eternal life and everlasting life. So the first thing, as we said, faith is personal. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. So we need to come to the Savior to find that life. Because the self-life is so tough that it requires a stronger power to be defeated. And this is done only by faith. And as Paul says, I live by the faith. Meaning what? I live by a new faith. Before, I was the captain of my own boat. I lived just for self. But now, I'm a new person. I must come to the second heading. The first one, faith is personal. But the second, as we said, faith is union with Christ. I am united with him. But look at the verse. It doesn't come out in English here, but I am crucified with Christ. With Christ comes first. That's the order of the words, with Christ to put the emphasis. I'm now identified with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to him. I do not belong to myself anymore. So that's why we explain that salvation is a union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. May I give you a secret tonight? You are entitled, wherever you are in the world, when you meet a Christian, you are entitled to ask him this question. When did you die? Question, when did you die? Answer, I died when I repented from my sins and came to the Lord Jesus Christ. So every Christian has taken part to his own funeral. He belongs to the Lord. He is saved. His sins are forgiven. But look at the expression in the verse. Paul will say, oh, Christ and I, the cross and me, he was crucified. I was crucified with him. I live, but not I, but Christ, the Son of God. So you see, faith in Christ brings us closer to God. We come closer to the living God. I am now a dead person, dying to the world and to its charms, its pleasures and temptations. But I live for a higher cause, for a higher purpose. When I think about it, what can you do to a crucified person? Here he is on the cross of Calvary. Will you tempt him with sweets, with candies? Will you tempt him with attractions, with music? No, there is nothing he wants. That's what happens when a person is converted. He is not anymore charmed by the attractions of the things of this world, because he has a new master, a greater master, who cares for him and who gives him eternal life. He is in us and we are in him forever. You know what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 24? He said, "The Father and I will come and live in you. If a man loves me, he will obey my commandments, and my Father will love him." You see, that's the promise Christ gives us if we trust in him. Self is ugly, but how beautiful is the Savior who covers the repentant sinner with his grace and with his arms. Oh, my dear friends, bring that old man to the cross and leave him there, because that's what Christ died for. So first, faith is personal. Second, faith is union, communion, fellowship with God. And faith brings us closer to God. But my third heading, faith brings life. It brings life. Real life. Quantity and quality life combined. The good news, when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, oh, this thrills my heart, you know. I am identified with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I met children who are ashamed of their parents. I met them in my small life. And I'm sure maybe there are people in this world, you dare not sit with them, you dare not be identified with them. But you know, when salvation takes place in a sinner's life, he is identified with the King of Kings. No more shame. Though in this world, people have lost that. No more shame about anything. Oh, never stop to be ashamed. Because this world, why we live in this world, so many things are so shameful. But the greatest shame is about our sins. That's why we call men and women day after day. We need to repent from our sins and to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news is given to us here. Salvation looks like this. Let me explain it. The greatest authority, the highest authority in this world, the Son of God, because that's what Paul is speaking about here, the Son of God, the highest, the supreme, the greatest authority, who knows all about you and me, came from heaven to earth with a mission, with a rescue mission, and he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary and provided a torrent of love. A torrent of love in order to save you and me. How can you measure the love of God? Can anyone match the love of Christ? Oh no, his love is perfect. His love is pure. His love is purposeful. And his love is sacrificial. His love is extensive. And his love is eternal. So that's why there is a great difference between Christ and every other religion. So we come to him. There was an old I which died, and there is a new I which lives. The crucified I before conversion was a master. He was a master to himself. But the new, when you find the Lord Jesus Christ, the new I is a servant. The old I, let me paint it, gloomy picture again. The old I, he is a manipulator. He is crafty. He will do things to make other people to serve him. But the new I, he delights in serving God and serving other people. The old man, that old man without conversion, outside the kingdom of God, he's a doomed slave in rags, homeless. He's a refugee. He's actually a fugitive in rags. But the new man, covered by the righteousness of Christ. You know how he looks like? He abounds in riches. God will shower him, lavish him, and cover him with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. That is the power of the gospel. There is no life outside Christ. Life begins when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you power over sin. He will give you dominion over sin. And the good news, if life comes to an end tonight, Christ said, I will raise you from the dead on the last day. That is the promise of the gospel. So we think about it. Christ saved by faith. I live and walk by faith. Or you will still be the same. You won't change. Your head won't change. Your physical appearance won't change. But inwardly, inside you, there is a transformation. The things that you loved before, now you hate them. And the things that you hated before, now you love them. You will love God. You will love prayer. You will love the church. You will love reading the Bible. You will receive a new character. You will receive new priorities in life. You will receive new purpose, new goals, and your life will be completely different. Because now God is your Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And the Bible is for you the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter to you. Your family is not the world anymore, but the church becomes your family, or the biggest, the largest, the sweetest family in the world. That is the blessing we receive because of the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ equals liberty. Sin equals equals slavery. That's the meaning. Christ died there so that I may be set free. And he credited his death to us. We will be so attached to him that nothing, no man can separate us from the living God. But let me close. You see the passage there. It says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The proud I is crucified at the very time when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, as I close, the Savior of the Bible is the only God in this world, in the history of this world, who says to every man and to every woman, put me to the test. That's the only God. Every other God has nothing to offer. Why am I saying he is asking you and me tonight to put him to the test? You know, in John chapter 10, Christ said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it back. Nobody can say that. But here in this passage, Christ says, and Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me, it is personal, and he gave himself for me, it is personal. You see, that is faith. You need to grasp that. Faith, grasp that and understand it. Christ died for me. I am his. I understand that. I know that. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. I cast away all my cares upon him. I lay hold upon Christ. That is faith. That is faith. How wonderful it is tonight if you leave this house of prayer knowing that Christ is your Savior. You can say the same. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith is to receive. Faith is to respond. Faith is to rest upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please come to the cross. Come to the Savior who loved you and gave himself for you. Who lives in you, as I close? Who lives in you tonight? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, or King Me lives in me? Galatians 2 verse 20 is a verse of salvation. Galatians 2:20 is a promise. You come to him, you receive life. But Galatians 2:20 is also a verse of assurance. Complete deliverance to end the rulership of self and to be given new life. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices to thank Thee, to praise Thee, because salvation is free and it is given to us. We can die to self, not by our own efforts, but by trusting on the crucified Lord who paid the price by His own righteousness. He obeyed the law of God, every rule of the law of God, every aspect of the law of God, Christ fulfilled it. He paid it all. It is finished, He said, so that it will also be finished for us to trust in Him and to receive eternal life. So visit us and bless us together in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.